Our gospel lesson this day comes from the Gospel according to Mark, and I'll be reading from chapter 1, verses 1 and following. Let us hear together the word of God. The proclamation of John the Baptist. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" So John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And the whole Judean region and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me, and I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the strap of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The word of God. Thanks be to God. Well, friends, I know that around this time of the year, we begin hearing people talk about all the Christmas movies that they are enjoying. I have a colleague who kicks off the Advent season every year by watching It's a Wonderful Life with her husband. I claim that the musical Meet Me in St. Louis is among the best Christmas movies ever. And other people love those really sweet Hallmark-type movies. There are hundreds of thousands of them. I also know by your own reports that some of you have already observed your annual tradition of watching Elf with your kids. In this movie, the elf is played by actor Will Ferrell. But there is another Will Ferrell movie that I often think about at this time of the year, and it's a movie called Talladega Nights, where he's a race car driver. Now, if you have ever seen this movie, you might guess the scene that I'm thinking about at this time of the year. It's that scene where Will Ferrell's character sits down at the dinner table with his family, and he begins to pray. And his prayer starts like this. He says, "Dear baby Jesus," and he goes on, and every time he addresses Jesus, it's as a baby. "Dear tiny infant Jesus, use your baby Jesus power." The prayer is quite long. His wife finally interrupts him, saying, "Hey, Jesus grew up. He's a man. He had a beard. You don't always have to call him baby." Will Ferrell's character responds back, "Well, I like the Christmas Jesus best." And there it is, right? He keeps on praying, "Dear 8-pound, 6-ounce infant Jesus, so cuddly, doesn't know a word, but still omnipotent." It's kind of silly. And yet, we might find ourselves admitting that we like the Christmas baby Jesus best. Of course, we know that baby Jesus is the same person that grew up to be the adult Jesus, but still, baby Jesus seems a little less demanding. This infant, whose birth we prepare for each Advent season, will go on to teach and preach in ways that challenge us and upset the status quo. Those who lose their life will gain them. Forgive not just 7 times, but 70 times 7. The last will be first, and the first will be last. Love your neighbor as yourself, and pray for your enemies. How can you say to your neighbor, "Let me take that speck out of your eye," while there is a log in your own eye? If you have 2 coats, give one away, and do the same with your food. Sell all you have and follow me. We could go on, couldn't we? It is no wonder any number of us prefer the baby Jesus, which is perhaps why the gospel writer Mark seems inclined to fast forward past the baby Jesus altogether. Because in Mark, there is no manger scene. There are no angels, no shepherds gathered around baby Jesus with the animals. Instead, Mark's gospel begins with John the Baptist fully grown in the wilderness, preparing the way for Jesus, who will soon appear on the scene as a young adult at the start of his ministry. And by way of introducing Jesus, John the Baptist kicks it all off with a call to repentance and confession of sins. Sometimes it is true that the good news begins with bad news. The coming of Jesus begins with the acknowledgement that we are in need of salvation and that we cannot save ourselves. Here at the start of December, John invites us into a time of self-reflection. Here on that second Sunday of Advent, as we light the candle of peace, we submit to our own soul searching. Can we honestly say that we always contribute to the ways of peace? If you've done any holiday shopping in person this year, or even if you've just gone to the grocery store, chances are you've noticed some people who are not always acting very peaceful. Just days ago, I was near two horn-honking cars in the very packed Target parking lot, and I've overheard customers raising their voice at innocent, hardworking employees who were out of the item that they were looking for. Being rude and disrespectful, impatient, and annoyed, those are certainly some postures to adopt in this season of waiting. But of course, there are other ways, and it begins with humility and a desire to be a person of peace. I was reminded earlier this week of a fantastic writing by the African-American theologian Howard Thurman. He speaks to the important work of self-reflection that John the Baptist himself is calling us to. Dr. Howard Thurman was a theologian, and he articulated the vision of spiritual discipline that informed the intellectual and moral basis for the Black freedom movement in the South. Thurman was not on the front lines during the marches and protests, but instead, like a sort of spiritual activist, Thurman was the moral anchor to whom people retreated when they needed to be refilled, a spiritual sage who connected contemplation and action, prayer and work, the spiritual life, and the work of social justice. Biographers say that Martin Luther King Jr. himself carried a dog-eared copy of Thurman's books and writings with him wherever he went at all times as he worked in the civil rights movement. So the words I wish to share today, in the spirit of the prophet John the Baptist, who calls us to prepare for Jesus by calling us to repentance and confession, it begins with Thurman proclaiming these words: how good it is to center down. How good it is to center down. How good it is to sit quietly and see one's self pass by. The streets of our mind seethe with endless traffic. Our spirits resound with clashings, with noisy silences, while something deep within us hungers and thirsts for the still moment, the resting lull. With full intensity, we seek a fresh sense of order in our living. We seek a direction, a strong, sure purpose that will structure our confusion and bring meaning to our chaos. We look at ourselves in this waiting moment, the kinds of people we are, and the question persists: what are we doing with our lives? What are the motives that order our days? Where is my treasure, and what do I love most in life? Over and over and over again, the questions beat up on us in this waiting moment as we listen. Floating up through all the jangling echoes of our turbulence, there is a sound of another kind, a deeper note which only the stillness of the heart makes clear. It moves directly to the core of our being. Our questions are answered, our spirits refreshed, and we move back into the traffic of our daily round with the peace of the eternal in our step. How good it is to center down. Amen. Friends, may you and I hear the invitation this Advent to center down, to look inward. There is certainly a time and a place to look outward, to consider the systems in this world that need remedying, to see the work that needs to be done in the name of peace and justice. But there is also a time and a place to look within our own hearts, to be about our own work, to consider how we might be ready to receive the Christ who comes, not only to transform the world, but to change us more and more into the people of peace that we seek to be. You know, at first glance, I think of how most people would certainly recoil when they hear John the Baptist's call to repentance and confession of sins. Who wants this Advent message? Who wouldn't rather have the baby Jesus after all? But the gospel writer tells us that crowds gathered to hear John's message. It says the whole Judean region and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him. I think that's because most of us know, down deep in the core of our being, that there is a longing, a yearning for something more. Something more, not just for the world, but for ourselves. How good it is to center down. I want to leave you this day with a story. Some of you might remember years ago on public radio, there was a series called This I Believe. This I Believe, people were invited to submit a brief essay on what they believed. And you can do a quick Google search and find this website. One person's essay was entitled, I Believe in the Power of Hello. Another, I Believe in the Spirit of Peace and Joy. You can find over 125,000 essays that have been submitted by people around the world. I'll place a link to it in my Friday article next week, along with Howard Thurman's full quote on how good it is to center down. So here's the essay I want to share with you, submitted by a woman in California named Cynthia. Cynthia became a successful business leader, and one year, when selecting items for her store, she found herself continually drawn to lizards. Artist lizards in the Southwest style, other lizards in paintings and on ceramics. She didn't really understand why. She only knew that she was pulled toward them, gravitated to them. One day, she shares this with someone who tells her that the lizards are associated with the dream life. We've been talking about dreams here at UMC this Advent. They are associated with the dream life, inviting the dreamer to trust their own intuition and to be open to their own transformation. Cynthia goes on to write, a lizard's tail will literally detach from the body, leaving behind a part of itself in order to survive. I first heard that essay on This I Believe years ago, and it stayed with me ever since. A lizard leaving behind part of itself in order to have life to the fullest. You know, Jesus has dreams for the world and for us too. And sometimes, oftentimes, the gift of transformation requires and involves a letting go of some sort, a letting go of the ego, a habit that is not life-giving. How good it is to center down and become the people of peace that we seek to be. Amen.